On your way in, hopefully you received an outline. Now would be a good time to take that out so you can take notes and write down anything that God may reveal to you tonight as we run through the message. And for those watching online or Facebook, even for you guys to know, our outlines are actually posted on the website, typically a few days after the service, but you can always go back. And when you watch a service online, you can grab the outline for that as well. It's kind of nice to have those available. And you can see that on our website, which is www.westbridgecc.org. Well, if you've been here these past few weeks, then you know Pastor Drew is taking us through a series called Untouchables, uncovering what God would have us know and understand and apply in the lives of the people who Jesus came in contact with and how that interaction went. Now, these are people that some would shy away from, some would see as less than desirable to associate with. Well, he's not here tonight. So it's kind of my honor to teach and share this time and talk about something totally different as we open the Word of God and learn together. Earlier this year, my wife Shanda got me a Fitbit Charge 2, which has better features than the one I had before because that one stopped working. It's right here on my wrist. It's a Fitbit 2. Well, I mean, it has a step counter like the other Fitbits do. You know, for example, today I've walked 11,454 steps. It's not so bad. And that's 5.6 miles, by the way, if you didn't know. Not so bad, not so bad. So it tracks not just my steps and distance like the last one, but it has a clock. That's pretty cool. So I can tell you what time it is. I can tell you that it's now 7:30. So Mr. Robert, hurry up. Keep talking. It's November 17th. It also gives me my heart rate. I am currently fat burning, by the way. According to this, I am fat burning. Wow. It is tough with that light, I suppose. You know, it shows my text messages. If I were to get a text right now, then it buzzes. And I lift it up, and I see who sent it to me. I get like a ticker tape, Shanda column. Then it says, pick up milk on the way home. Or something like that. And it does all this stuff. And it syncs with my app. It's really cool. And for everything it measures, you can set goals. You can set step goals. You can set all kinds of different things. You can track water that consumes on the mobile app. It has almost everything. But there's one thing on this that I am absolutely fascinated with. And that's the fact that it monitors my sleep. Yeah, this little thing knows how I sleep. It's really cool. I look at my sleep report every day. In fact, Shanda and I actually send each other pictures of our reports. If it's a really good night, then we kind of brag about it. If it's a really bad night, then we kind of look for some sympathy for one another. Well, displayed on the screen behind me, you can see my sleep report. It's pretty cool. It on the left, it kind of shows you how long I was awake, and I'm looking at the same one. This is from last Sunday evening. You can see that I was awake for 1 hour and 3 minutes. I was in REM sleep for 1 hour and 5 minutes. I was in light sleep for 3 hours and 48 minutes. And I was in deep sleep for 1 hour and 54 minutes. And on the right, you can see how does that all measure up to men my age in terms of sort of the ranges that's expected. It's interesting because it also explains the importance of sleep, which I didn't realize. I always thought deep and REM sleep was the best. But you can see that light sleep actually takes up the vast majority, half of my sleep. And the app tells me this, you were 49% in light sleep. You might not know it, Mr. Robert, but light sleep is really important. It typically makes up most of your night and promotes mental and physical restoration. Like I said, fascinating, huh? You gotta get one of these things. It's great. And if you care to know, Mr. Robert's sweet spot is around 7 to 7.5 hours a night. And if I get that much time, then I feel pretty rested and relaxed. And if you haven't figured it out, I hit my quota last night. I look pretty good, don't I? Yeah? I mean, come on. Well, thanks for humoring me anyway. The Center for Disease and Control and Prevention, the CDC, says we should get at least 7 hours of sleep a night. And thankfully, many nights I can. But I know some of you are out there saying, you know what? I wish I could just get more sleep than I get now. I could care less about the minimum. I just need more sleep. But so much gets in the way, Mr. Robert, of a good night's sleep. Well, firstly, there's not enough time in the day to get everything done. I go to work, and sometimes I bring my work home. I have to fix dinner when I get home. Then I have to clean up. Then I have to drive the kids to practice, or I have to drive them to a rehearsal, or I got to go shopping. I got to go to the bank. I got to go to the cleaners. I got to go laundry. I got to connect with my family, my friends. I have projects at home. There's birthday parties tonight. There's gatherings. I got to pay the bills. And at some point, I'd like to relax and hopefully play some games or enjoy a hobby. Well, I'm just tired of thinking about all that stuff. We've packed so much into our lives that we find ourselves with too much to do and too little time to do it. And as a result, we stay up late, or we get up early, and we try to cram all that in, and we deprive ourselves of rest, the ability to recover. Or we just run ourselves ragged, going here, doing this, doing that, nonstop until we collapse on the pillow, only to get up the next morning and get right back in the rat race of life. Stress and worry. How about that? Does that keep you up at night? It does me. Especially when I encounter a long season of stress related to my job. What if I eat dinner too close to going to sleep, or I have a cup of coffee or a soda? Caffeine certainly can whack people's night out. Or what about when we're sick? Sometimes when I'm sick, all I want to do is sleep. But sometimes, whatever's going on, our bodies just won't let us sleep. Sleep is vital to our health and our well-being. And it's important you and I find rest and renewed strength. We all have a favorite scripture verse of the Bible. In mine, you heard a little bit of it already. It can be found in the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, verse 21 through 38. Our Heavenly Father knows how tough it is. He knows what life throws at us, and He knows that we need rest. He knows that we need to be renewed, and He knows that He needed to give us wisdom and insight through the passage that underpins our study. So let's read what Isaiah writes. Have you never heard? Have you never understood? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth. He never grows weak or weary. No one can measure the depths of His understanding. He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Even youths will become weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Just like my Fitbit is always watching over me, night and day, day and night, in the same way, God is always working in the background for me. And He's working in the background for you as well. The creator of the earth, the one and only true God we serve, never grows weak or weary, the Bible states. Our men explored the power of this truth in depth over the last, I think it was about 5 months, in the study we were doing and just completed entitled Experiencing God. In the study, we investigated 7 realities that help us experience God in our life. And the first of which was God is always at work around us. Psalm 121, verse 3 and 4 says this, He will not let you stumble. The one who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel never slumbers or sleeps. Jesus also confirms the same. In John chapter 5, 17, He says, My Father is always working, and so am I. This brings us to our first point for tonight, and that is, God never rests so that you and I can. God never rests so that you and I can. Knowing this has changed my life. Because I don't have to do everything. I don't have to be everything. If I do, then I'm leaving God out. And he's the most important part of the equation. Stress and worry, God can take care of that for me. He can help me effectively manage that in my life. I read a great quote this week online from an author. Her name is Mary Crowley. She says this, she says, "Every evening, I turn my worries over to God. He's going to be up all night anyway. When trials come and we can't see how things are going to turn out, we can't trust and know. We can't, trust and know it's all in God's hands. How reassuring is it that God's at work around us? This week, I'll be in my hometown for the week, for some of the days, back to where, for me, life all began, in the small city of Edwardsburg, Michigan. This is where I lived most every day of the first 18 years of my life before leaving for college. Looking back on my life, it's really clear to me as I thought about this week how God has always been at work behind the scenes, how he never rested at bringing people into my life, presenting me with challenges and situations, opportunities and decisions that shape who I am today. So who am I? Well, among other things, I'm a follower of Christ. I'm a husband and a father, an active participant of this church, my home, Westbridge, and I'm an IT professional. Each of these things didn't happen overnight, rather bit by bit over many years. As a little boy, my first church experience was boarding a church bus where I went to church by myself. I don't remember who invited me. I don't know how long I went. I don't know how old I was. I don't even remember where the church was. For all I know, it could have been one time. But I vividly remember exploring this beautiful three-story church. Then somewhere, kind of adolescent, preteen years, God got a hold of my mother and he got a hold of my father. And he changed and transformed their lives. So we all started attending church regularly together. And then after a few years, my father studied at nights when he came home from work, all on his own. He took online classes, he did everything he could, and he became an ordained minister. All throughout college, I continued to attend church with my family. I drove home 2 hours every weekend to be with them. Albeit mostly at that time, quite frankly, I was a consumer. I did continue to attend. And then, moving to Texas, Shanda and I found a new church, a church that we loved. There were couples in our small groups that have become trusted friends. And on moving to New Jersey, we again searched for a church. We attended one for many weeks. However, the church was not liked by our kids, particularly little 4 or 5-year-old Andrew. "Dad, I don't want to go there anymore. They never serve any snacks." The fact that Shanda was able to become a full-time housewife when we moved to Texas and continue that as we moved to New Jersey, she was able to really be well vested in our kids' lives. So here in New Jersey, when Andrew started soccer, and no one wanted to be the coach for little 4 or 5-year-old girls and boys, Shanda stepped forward to be the coach. And lo and behold, on her team was this little boy named Cody Kleinbell. Cody invited Andrew to his birthday party at the YMCA. And in addition, he said, "You know what? You should come to my daddy's church. It's cool." And we've been with family ever since. I met my childhood friend, Brian Makowski, in Cub Scouts. Brian and his family lived near Garver Lake, and they had a boat. It was really cool. On weekends, we would go skiing and kneeboarding. Kneeboarding is where you're literally on your knees and you strap it. And so we did that a lot of weekends. It was a small lake. So most families on the lake knew one another. While Shanda and her family lived in Illinois, they had a summer home, a weekend home on a lake. The same lake I would ski and kneeboard on with my friend Brian and his family. That's where I was introduced to Shanda through Brian. And 2 weeks ago, Shanda and I celebrated 29 years of marriage. Blessed to have raised two wonderful kids, one of which you saw standing next to me. And lastly, in high school, I had zero interest in stereotypical classes other guys would take, like wood shop and auto shop. And I hadn't yet developed my love for arts and crafts that I do now, so that wasn't an option either. And taking home economics, well, there were consequences for a scrawny geek like me on such a decision. So I didn't do that either. So for electives, I took German and I took typing. And my love for video games set in. Yeah, it was the original Atari. I am that old. And that led me to forego all of my electives my senior and junior year. I got up early and I boarded a bus every morning and I took the bus, it was about 30 minutes, to a place called Elkhart Area Career Center. And I learned computer programming. At lunch, I would eat my lunch on the bus on the way back to take the rest of my classes in the afternoon, and I did that every day for 2 years. And that decision led me to pursue a degree in computer science at DeVry University, which was the college of my choice, located in Lombard, Illinois. It's an important point here. The college was located 20 minutes away from Shanda's family, where they lived in Illinois. I chose my college before I met Shanda. As I already shared, Shanda's family had a summer home in my home. It wasn't a coincidence. It was God at work. I attended DeVry, and it was through DeVry I heard about this co-op student position at a place called Dove International, the manufacturer of the Dove ice cream bar. And I'm here to tell you, 50 pounds of this is ice cream. From 29 years ago, it never left me. And Dove had recently been purchased by Mars. And then after a year, I joined Mars full-time. And Mars moved me to Houston. And Mars then moved me to New Jersey. I'm a follower of Christ because of how God pursued my parents and how he pursued me. I'm an active part of Westbridge, no longer a consumer, but a servant for how God would have used me. Why? Because he's always been at work. He's always been pursuing, and he changed my life. I'm a husband and a father because he brought Shanda and I together. And I'm an IT professional working in a job I enjoy for a company I'm proud to be a part of. Again, because God never rested. He never gave up on me. Reflecting back, I'm assured how I can trust him and follow him. He holds the future, and he never rests so that you and I can. It's a big truth that we can't overlook or forget. And I encourage each of you this week, think back on the events of your life. What's your story? Who are you today? And when you do, you'll see God's been working in the background of your life too. The God who keeps you, Psalm 121:3 says, you know what? He's not going to fall asleep on the couch watching Sunday night football. He's not going to set an alarm clock and turn out the lights when he's done watching the latest show on Hulu or Netflix and leave us while he gets some Z's. The God who keeps us isn't lying in the bed under the covers scrolling through Facebook and Instagram till he falls asleep clutched with the phone in his hand. He doesn't need 7 hours minimum of sleep. In fact, he needs no rest at all. He never stops. He's available to you, and he's working every minute of every day in our lives. And it's comforting to know. Amen? Amen. With everything that life throws at us, though, and it's a lot, ever wonder how you and I can find rest and renewed strength? How we can live life to the full? Well, let's look back at our scripture passage in Isaiah And God answers that question for us. He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Even youths will become weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They'll soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Isaiah wrote, those who wait on the Lord will find renewed strength. Because God alone really is the source of how you and I renew our strength to face another day. Our earthly human strength is not really enough. It's not this eternal reservoir that God supplies. He's infinite in his strength. And you and I need rest, not just for the body, but the rest for the mind that God can provide. And if we go to him and ask, he promises to give us that very same, that very thing. He says this in Psalm 127:2. He says, for he gives to his beloved sleep. I want you guys to meet Jay Austin. Jay wants to sell you a car. And it doesn't matter to him how he does it. Doesn't matter because he's dishonest in his business. And it's exactly how he conducts his personal life as well. He's dishonest in his relationships. Even his wife and son can't trust him. However, as Jay works on restoring a classic convertible, he comes face to face with the reality that his life is spinning out of control. Because of the choices that he's made and the way he has conducted himself in business and in his relationships. Let's take a look. As the trailer highlights, Jay resolves to give his life and his business over to God and make the God the boss, and it begins for Jay the ride of his life. Despite the fact that selling cars at honest prices may cause him to lose his job, well, it also would have been a struggle if he'd have continued to do it in dishonest dealings. He decides that he's going to be honest in everything. He gives the business to God and says it's God's car lot and he can do with it whatever he pleases. Convicted by God, Jay goes back to every person that he cheated and he refunded them the amount he overcharged them above a fair and honest price. If the business goes under, well, that's because God allowed it. If the business succeeded, that's because God saved it. All Jay desired was to finish well by honoring God and the way in which he conducts his business, and indeed, to honor God in all of the relationships. This brings us to our second point for tonight, and that is, it's not what you could do. It's what God is doing. It's not what you could do. It's what God is doing. If you haven't seen the movie Flywheel, you really should. It's a terrific movie. And I don't want to spoil the details. For those of you that have seen it, you already know what happens. And for those that haven't, well, let's just say God was always at work in the background in Jay's life. And God shows Jay it's not about what he could do. It's about what God was doing. The life of Esther is another clear example of God at work behind the scenes. The story of how Esther, a Jew, found favor with the king of Persia, King Xerxes. The story of how this courageous young woman was able to save her people. I learned something very surprising this week as I studied, something that I didn't know at all. You know, the book of Esther never once mentions the name of God. I didn't know that. Not one time. This fact is a bit of a controversy, and it has been over the years between Christians and scholars, because they're not really sure what to do with the book of Esther. And that key question, the challenge being, well, if God isn't mentioned, then how does this book become a part of the Bible? Why should this book be there? Well, the truth is, quite frankly, the word that God puts in, his fingerprints are on every page. He chose to write the book of Esther in a way in which he's not prominently front and center like he was for Moses at the burning bush or parting the Red Sea. In this case, rather than operate through some visible miracle, then God shows us, you know what? I can operate behind the scenes too. He shows us how through seemingly normal events in life, he never stops bringing about his will in the life of those who trust him. God chose not to appear by name on the pages on purpose because he wants to teach you and he wants to teach me about the times when we don't feel him, when we can't see him in our lives. He wants to show us he's still there. The book of Esther proves to us that there's nothing God is not involved in. There's nothing that he doesn't care about. And it proves to us that it's not about what you or I could do, but it's about what God is doing. He's actively a part of both the seen and the unseen events that are happening in life. God is at work, seemingly on insignificant details, as well as the magnificent seen events, both with the same intensity, the same never-resting, never-ending love for you and I. Romans 8:28 reaffirms this. That's why we can be so sure that every detail in our lives of love for God is worked into something good. So how can you and I know what God is doing? How can we know what God's will is for our life? Well, the men learned something about this very thing as well back on day 2 of experiencing God. There were 2 things. First, Jesus is our model. And second, the Bible is our guide. I can't really say it better than Henry Blackaby did, who is the author of Experiencing God. So I'm going to read you what he wrote on what's God's will. He says, when people seek to know and do God's will, many ask the question, what is God's will for my life? One of my seminary professors, Gaines S. Dobbins, used to say, if you ask the wrong question, you'll get the wrong answer. Sometimes we assume every question is legitimate. However, when we ask the wrong question, we may find an answer but remain disoriented to God and his activity. Always check to see whether you've asked the right question before you pursue the answer. What is God's will for my life? He says, well, I'm not sure that's the right question. I think the proper question is, what is God's will? Once I know God's will, then I can adjust my life to him. In other words, what is God purposing to accomplish where I am? Once I know what God is doing, then I know what I need to do. The focus needs to be on God, not on my life. When I want to learn how to know and do God's will, I can find no better model, he says, than Jesus' life. During his approximate 33 years on earth, he perfectly completed every assignment the Father gave him. He never failed to do the will of the Father. Those are the words of Henry Blackaby that we said about how do we know God's will. Earlier, we actually looked at John 5, verse 17, but I want to look at it again, reading through verse 20. But Jesus replied, my Father is always working, and so am I. So the Jewish leaders tried all the harder to find a way to kill him. For he not only broke the Sabbath, he called God his Father, thereby making himself equal to God. So Jesus explained, I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He does only what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him everything he's doing. You and I can know what God is doing. We can know God's will as we look to Jesus as our model and the Bible as our guide. Mr. Blackaby says it's really not a step-by-step approach, though, for knowing and doing God's will. It's through an active, ongoing love relationship between you and God. That's where God accomplishes his work. That's where God can show you his purposes. That's where God reveals himself. That's where God shows you his ways. Blackaby sums it up like this. Watch to see where God is working and join him. Let's make that tonight's takeaway. Watch to see where God is working and join him. There is no better current example of this that I can think of than how God has been working through the use of social media and Facebook Live each and every week. We see God using this as a means to reach people that we will never meet. People will never hear from this side of eternity. We have honestly no idea what diverse variety of people that God is pursuing through that avenue. We don't know where they're located. We don't know what's their story and why they chose to hit a link and why they're worshiping with us when they tune in on Saturday nights or watch again through the week. But God is certainly working. And those who are watching to see where he's working, join him. And you know what? That's just what Miss Sunny did. Knowing and continuing to learn sign language, she joined our worship team, which now makes that part of our service available to a whole new group of people that God is pursuing as well. It's no coincidence that Sunny and her family are here at Westbridge. God brought them into our family to join him in his work. And we're excited to have him, aren't we? Amen. Friends, right now, God is working all around us. We might not see it, but he's working. He's working in the events of your life. He's working in this church. And by following Jesus' example and you and I applying what God's word tells us to do and how to change our life, you and I can be assured that God will show us his will. He'll show us his way, and it'll turn our lives around. We'll know what we're supposed to do. You and I will learn when and where God is working so that we know where he's active. We know where to join him in his work to bring out his good and perfect will. When we live in a manner like that, it's never about what you and I could do. It's never about that. It's about what God is doing. You and I will find rest. God will supply us the strength that we need to do his work. The Bible promises us that. You and I will experience God accomplishing his purposes through our life. When we enter this intimate relationship with him, the guy who loves us the most, knows us the most, will experience him in ways we never have before, the results of which are always better than the outcome of any effort alone you and I could bring about. I'd like to ask the worship team to come back up and the prayer team on my right. And we're just going to sing one song as we close out the night. Westbridge and those online, God's inviting you and I to join him. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you've not made that commitment, then the first invitation is to enter a relationship with him. He wants to be the Lord of your life. He wants to show you what it means to be transformed. And if you'd not make that decision, then tonight you have that chance. He's waiting. He's been pursuing you. That's why you're here, because he wants to connect with you. If you want to make that decision, if you want to know what that's about, then come up front, and we'd like to pray with you after the service. But God's also inviting you to join him in his work, to see where he's operating. There's plenty of opportunities to serve alongside God and help others. Whatever is going on in your life, he's ready to renew you. He's ready to give you strength. if you just include him in. Would you stand and let's sing?
Dear Father God, we thank you tonight for meeting us here. Father, we just ask you to intervene in our lives. Shake it up. Come in and transform us. Change us. Help us to become who you created us to be. Show us the way, Father, and we will follow. Keep us safe this week as we go into the weekdays. Help us to remember all the things that you've done for us on Thursday and every day of the year. We have so much to be thankful for. Keep us safe, Father. In your name we ask, amen. See you next week, 7 o'clock.